on day one. And in the true spirit of the season, we have had challenges already. We're all clustered around a little lamp in the dark because the power has gone out up here. Dawn will not be joining us today because she is sick, but she had a word count report.
Dawn reports 1,363 words before the migraine knocked her out, and says that she will try to write early tomorrow because she seems to do better in the morning.
Cool. Well, Tori, how was your first day?
Oh, it was really eventful.
Do tell.
Well, no internet whatsoever, and my computer doesn't work without being plugged in, so...
So no words today.
No words today.
Well,
But, yeah. I guess basically what I have been thinking, and it was based on a really weird dream last night, is I think I'm going to do a horror comedy.
Oh, fun.
So I kind of have an idea of where to go, but we'll see how it goes. It's been a day.
Excellent. How about you, Ben?
I wrote something. I have a better idea of what my story is actually about. I wrote about 700 words, just exploratory. I'm not even trying to write the story, because that's expensive for me. If I find the story by writing it, I write 10,000 words before I find my story. So I'm just kind of turning over the concept in my mind and developing it. But I did spend about 700 words doing that today, and I have a story. I'm starting to emerge, and I'm starting to get the story. And when that's kind of the homework for me, and kind of the hard part is figuring that out. But once I kind of have a shape of the story, it won't take that long to.
It's like prepping the ground.
Exactly. I'll be able to catch up on my word count in a few days once I know what the hell I'm writing. So
nice.
Yeah.
How about you, Kitty?
Let's see. I ended up with about 210 words after doing 3 false starts. Turns out I was hunting around for a voice because I think the story in my head is a young adult or juvenile. It took on this really angsty, emo, gloomy voice. And I started to find it really tedious, and I wasn't interested. I wasn't being pulled into the story. So I started channeling Douglas Adams, basically. And suddenly I had the dark and stormy night, and it wasn't gloomy. It felt like the opening of Dirk Gently as a YA adventure. So,
oh, that's going to be fun.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm enjoying the voice. So.
Nice. I spent about 3 hours ramming my head against the wall, getting 3 paragraphs in, hating it, not liking it, thinking that I was trying too hard. I wound up with a really good idea that had crystallized in my head, but trying to find the opening was driving me crazy. So it wound up being 3 hours of ramming my head against the wall, then taking a walk, then taking a nap, then waking up, and while I was having dinner, I started writing again, and I found my entree. So I got 2,250. When we break here, I'm going to go back down and start working on my other projects because I'm now over budget on Nanos.
Bastard.
And I can go and try to make some progress on the Autodidax Bible, so that'll be good.
Lucky. I was wondering bastard. Why there was a dent in the drywall when I walked in. Thanks.
Alrighty, well, it's not a bad first day all around. Even yours is not a bad first day. Zero
Right.
words, but having a concept crystallize is good.
Yeah. I think it's gonna work out.
Yeah.
Is there room to say more about like our setup or our? So I don't have power today, which doesn't actually make a lot of difference on how I'm writing right now because I'm geeking out about my writing setup right now. So it's kind of new in the honeymoon phase, but also I'm really enjoying it. So I have my iPhone, which I've always felt like it was a bit of a waste because I won't type on the little stupid pop-up keyboard just because you can't, that's not practical. So I finally got a Bluetooth keyboard off of Amazon for about $35 the other day, and I've been using that so far for developing the story and writing in general, and I love it. It's turning my iPhone into the equivalent of a, you know, fully powered computer for the purposes of writing that I can sit down with anywhere, like on the couch or on the go, and just set it up. And something about that combination, the portability and having a full keyboard accessible to me at any time, is I'm really excited about it. Because, like, I sit down for breakfast and I think of something and I keep them both in my pocket. And so I just pull out my setup and feel like a total badass. And I can just be writing, you know, on a full keyboard at a moment's notice. Something about having to go get a laptop and get it out of my bag and set it up and then plug in the charger and know it's gonna die if I unplug it after, you know, an hour because my battery's going bad. I mean, it's a very, very first world type of a problem, but I'm enjoying that portability of the phone.
And the accessibility, too. The accessibility. It's always on, so all you gotta do is unfold that little thing. So that little tripod stand you got for it.
Really, and I have it on my belt here. I just have this little, like, tripod that's slinging along.
I'm gonna have to take a picture of your setup and post it on the episode.
I kind of expected that you were gonna be writing up a storm because you were on your manual typewriter.
Oh, my manual typewriter?
You,
yeah.
That was your other thing for a while.
Well, it's still one of my things, but for finding the story, I don't want to be on a typewriter. I'd rather just be in a word processor because I don't care.
The delete key.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I found something else that I wanted to talk about briefly about just my own process. So a lot of writers, we have the experience of sitting down at the word processor and just facing the blank page, right? And it's like, and I know for me, I've definitely had that. I'm just like, oh, I got to start something and it's got to work and it's got to be right. And I think everybody has their ways around that. But I'm finding one of my ways around it sort of organically, which is, rather than trying to jump fully formed into whatever the story is, because that never really seems to work for me anyway, I'm finding out that I actually have kind of a default story that I start with. and I'm slowly figuring that out. I'm like, oh, and it always starts, it's sort of like it's my inner version of, it's my inner child. It's like it always starts out with a 12-year-old boy. And I found out if I let that happen, and then I give myself total permission to like throw out any part and even change my character into an adult or a woman or whatever, like it's kind of this sneaky way into like, you know, my inner story sanctum in my mind or something like that.
Now I'm waiting for the horror novel where you start off with your 12-year-old boy and then kill him on page 20.
Well, this is going to be close to that.
Nice.
So it's been
It's nice to be here and to hear everybody's things. If I only end up with a haiku, then at least I sort of have developed a writing style by listening to you guys and feeling it out. I'm only used to data, writing with data. Mm-hmm. So this is like jumping out into this pond next door, like icy cold, and I just want to get out sometimes. And I'm like, just got to stay in, stick with it.
I wouldn't recommend jumping into the pond.
I'm not going to do it.
It's cold now. It's not quite ready to freeze, but it's getting close.
Some of the guys have done it. And
if you're going to do it now rather than chopping a hole in the ice like in Bolino.
It's not going to do that.
No, it's more fun when you go crazy and make it all out.
Yeah, because hypothermia shock and subsequent death is thrilling.
Yeah, it's easier for you because you don't have anything that will shrink so much that
you'll
fall off.
Maybe that's needed, though. That's what I need to do. It'll help to break things free in my brain.
That
jarred.
Permanently.
Let's do it. Permanently, yeah.
Just make sure you have a warm and fluffy bathrobe waiting for you. And a warm body.
That would be that one.
What we need to do is put a hot tub right down there by the water.
Yeah.
Yes. The cogs are working in the brain. They're like, wait a minute. Can we do this?
One of the things that I was pleasantly surprised by today is how many hours I get at it. So like you, I have moved to a different writing setup. For years, I wrote on my regular work machine, and I don't anymore. It got to the point where there are too many distractions. I do too many other things on there for work. And a lot of those things are also research. And research is a very good way to not write and feel like you're doing something important. So I got a little 7-inch or 9-inch laptop. It's barely bigger than my phone. Yeah, this thing here, it's about 9 inches. And it doesn't have a Wi-Fi antenna. It's got a network card, but no Wi-Fi antenna. So it doesn't eat power. It lasts for f***ing ever. I did 2,000 of those 2,200 words over the course of 2 hours on this, and it only went down to half charge. And so now I'm topping it off while the generator's on, and I'll be able to go for another 4 hours tonight. It's brilliant! But your laptop, Kitty was on her full-size laptop, which is a production machine. It's a 14-inch thing, eats like 500 watts. And you got several hours out of that as well.
And it's only about halfway down. It says it has another 2 hours left, which surprised me because it used to be die immediately as soon as it got unplugged.
Well, we did replace the battery last year, but you also haven't had the internet, so the Wi-Fi isn't pinging. Yeah. And those Wi-Fi antennas eat a lot of power.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm really liking about being on my phone is, like, I was actually just figuring this out these last couple of days of being on my big laptop. I do all my other professional work with that. I've been in tech for years. And so, like, my brain is in, like, hyper-connected communication mode when I'm on my computer. And when I go to the phone, it kind of shifts outside of that, like you're talking about. But one of the things that I've really liked the idea of and have tried to do multiple times is have a dedicated writing laptop. You know, simple. Like, you just turn off the Wi-Fi, just have the application on there, you know, and it's sort of a beautiful thing. You have maximum battery life. You don't have all the interactions. You can go into your little writing zone. I love that idea. I've loved it for years, and I've tried to implement it for a couple years, and I've finally given it up because it does not work for me. The idea of kind of compartmentalizing writing to that degree, where, like, you know, shut off everything and do it, for me, it's artificial, because as soon as I give myself a barrier like that, I then figure out how to get around it.
Right.
Right? Like, it's like setting up a game for myself, which I can't win. So I figured, I discovered it's much more useful to actually put my writing application on all of my computers and have them all synced up in some way, so that no matter where I'm sitting, if an idea comes, I can just put it in, and just surface the ability to write everywhere is turning out to be a much more effective method for me personally.
I'm definitely wanting to get one of those Bluetooth keyboards now, because when I first got my little note phone, those things are basically tablets anyway, and every time I've gone on the plane with one, I've been like, oh, I wish I had a keyboard, because I could write then, because not even this is small enough to write on a plane.
Yeah.
The way I get around that thing you're talking about is when the power is not off, I sit up here, and for those of you playing the home game, I've got the little writing laptop and the keyboard in front of me. And then to my left, I've got my full two-screen big production machine going on. And so I'll run a movie on that screen where it's just barely in my periphery, and I've got my instant message and whatnot. So if something important happens, I can jump over. If I really need to research, I jump right over.
Yeah.
But just having the direction of gaze enough that it takes effort to shift left, that's all I need, it turns out.
Yeah. It's amazing how little things like that can make a big difference. Although I'm starting to realize that it's a little bit of a moving target kind of a game for me.
Right.
Part of my mind game is like figuring out my setup and then figuring out how to break it and find another one that works.
Red Queen's race.
Exactly. You know, so I'm kind of slowly coming to accept that, which is, but I've come to really embrace that, because rather than taking anything that I develop as my approach and saying, okay, this is the holy grail, now I'm going to abandon everything else, I've started to just include multiple tools. So now I have audio recording capability on my computer that syncs to my phone. Also on my phone that syncs to my computer. I can, you know, record into a to-do list. I can write into an app. I have typewriters, which I love, manual typewriters, which as soon as I have a room to live in, I'll have one set up full time and I can put ideas. And so it's really about giving myself as many interesting ways to input my ideas. And partly because I get so bored.
So what you're doing, you're going almost the opposite direction. Rather than ritualizing and narrowing the tech to set up a headspace, you're making it so ubiquitous that you have no excuse not to use it.
Exactly. And that seems to be the best strategy that, for my brain.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all I've got. Anyone else got anything else?
I think we're done for the night.
So join us tomorrow. It may just be a, hi, I got this many words, or we may find an interesting topic, and it's going to be like this ebb and flow all through the month. So it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.